Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, air traffic controllers are suing the federal government over the shutdown, and a man tries to smuggle kittens in his pants through the Singapore airport, to which I say, ouch.
I don't know what to say. Bad idea. There's got to be a law.
Yeah.
All right. For many months, we've talked about how one particular rental car company was dinging its customers for imaginary damage. Now that has changed. Chris Elliott joins us at 3:20 to update us on why Enterprise Car Rental is making all of its customers smarter travelers.
I'm joining the show live from the Big Island of Hawaii today with the second of a two-part series on where to go and what to see in the islands. The island of Maui plus Hilo and Kona on the Big Island are the focus today at 3:35.
The Broadway hit Come From Far Away has opened its limited run in San Francisco, and at 3:45, we're joined by a cast member, Kevin Carolyn, to talk about why this show is making audience roar with approval.
It's 3 o'clock in Sacramento, 1 o'clock on the Big Island of Hawaii. And thank you for tuning in to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets for paradise. To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
And a good afternoon, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, it's so nice to have you with us all the way from that just horrible place that nobody would ever want to go because there's this volcano and mixed in with the ash and all of that. Why would anyone want to go hang out on the Big Island of Hawaii? My goodness,
Tom,
what are you thinking?
Tom, it's just terrible. Last night here in Kona, it got down to 57 degrees, and all the Hawaiians have broken out their winter coats. And, I mean, literally, the conversation on the street yesterday among anyone who was a local was the fact that it was going to dip into the 50s last night, which for these folks is about akin to, you know, hell freezing over. So when I was listening to the news broadcast there, it was saying something about it being 44 overnight in Sacramento. And I thought to myself, if it ever got 44 here, these people would dig caves and go underground. Anyway, it is another sparkling day in the islands, and the second time I've had to come here for work-related issues in the last few weeks. So I would say that, you know, this is a good job to have.
I should say. Well, we're going to be talking in depth about your visit to the islands. And, you know, I've had an opportunity to visit pretty much all of the islands. And the Big Island of Hawaii has always been my favorite. Of course, I had a family member living there, so I had a real good reason to go visit. But I'd be real curious to see, you know, what's new and what people are doing on the Big Islands these days.
Yeah, there's like, well, I can tell you that there are a lot fewer people here now that we are past the holidays than there were just 10 days ago. So I really stand by my statement that I made previously, which is if you are coming to Hawaii, don't come over a major holiday. There just are a lot of people here, and it really detracts from the quality of the experience, and you're going to pay more money for the experience. So the fact that it isn't as good and you pay more money for it should allow people of greater intelligence than I to figure out the fact that try to avoid that period of time, especially since just before the holidays and just after the holidays can be some of the least expensive times to visit the island. So enough of that. We'll get to more of that later on. We best get on to the travel news, my friend.
Let's do it. Top of every Travel Guys radio show. We get you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. Mark, what you got today?
Well, I think we really should start with this story because it's about the man who tried to smuggle four kittens into Singapore from Malaysia in his pants. Now, you might You know, we're both men. There's only so many places that you could put kittens in pants. I mean, you could put them in pockets, obviously, I guess, if the pockets were loose enough. Or I'm not sure you could put them down your legs, so you'd have to pretty much put them in your crotch. And I can only imagine how customs officials might have...
Well, you know, I mean, if you're one of those people that wear the super baggy pants that are almost hanging off your butt, you could have kitty room.
The only problem is that the officers were prompted to conduct further checks when they heard meowing sounds coming from a bulge in his pants. And there are
dead
a lot
giveaway.
Of... Yeah. There are a lot of things we could say from this point on about this story, but probably all of them would either get us or the station taken off the air. So we probably should just leave it at that and move on to the next story here. The air traffic controllers... are turning to legal remedies to try to get at least their paychecks, if not their part of the federal government, back open. Their Controllers Association is suing the federal government. They've filed suit on Friday on behalf of their members who have not been paid during the shutdown. They are saying that the government is violating the Fifth Amendment by depriving workers of their earned wages without process, and says that the government has violated the Fair Labor Standards Act by failing to pay at least the minimum wage to air traffic controllers during the shutdown. So we'll see what happens. That continues to get a little stickier. You may have seen, Tom, that in the Palm Springs Airport in California, they had a little bit of an issue with not having enough TSA employees one day last week. And Miami shut down part of security at their airport early on concourses that were not as frequently traveled, forcing travelers to kind of go out of their way a little bit. So far, we have not had any real serious problems caused by the shutdown, but one senses that perhaps those things might be just around the corner. Here's kind of an interesting story about Mexico. The Chichen Itza, which is a very popular tourist attraction down in the Yucatan, has doubled its prices for admission. The government has doubled its prices, and the travel agents who sell the admission tickets, who sell about 75% of the tickets to see the ruins down there in southern Mexico, are refusing to sell tickets for the last half of the month because the cost to the public has doubled from a little over $12 US to a little over $24 US. Kind of an interesting situation here, because if you can't get a ticket from these folks, they don't have a real big online situation set up. So the travel agents are able to divert a sizable amount of traffic. So if you are headed to southern Mexico to see some of the ruins down there, you might be advised in the next couple of months, you might be advised of the facts that A, it's going to cost you a little bit more, and B, you may have some issues when you get down there in terms of getting tickets. And here's a related issue about travel in Mexico. Fuel theft has caused a gas shortage in Mexico. This is not necessarily people stealing gas from individual cars, but taking gasoline thieves from Mexico's pipelines and also hitting tanker trucks. So the government has shut down a series of secondary pipelines. What does all this have to do with the travel show? Well, it means that gas is not getting to some of the places that need it, and some tourist areas in Mexico are experiencing gasoline shortages. So imagine, Tom, if you flew to Mexico, you rented a car, you were out traveling and maybe even in a secondary area, and suddenly you had no gasoline to be able to get back to where you were. So
a bit problematic there, yes.
That would be a little bit of a problem. I haven't seen this mentioned anywhere else, so I will mention it here. If you're headed to Mexico, just make sure, especially if you're traveling to a secondary tourism area, make sure that they have enough gasoline before you get there. I'm not a huge fan of budget airlines like Frontier and Spirit. That's been noted on this program before. So I find this next story to be somewhat humorous. With the new year comes a new perk for Frontier Airlines employees. Cabin crew will now be earning tips for the work they do throughout the aircraft, particularly after serving drinks. The ultra-budget airline says the new in-flight tip program is meant to help flight attendants supplement their income.
Oof. do they give you a little envelope along with your
Passengers are being asked to tip the cabin crew after they take drink orders. When customers pay, they're given a tablet that encourages tipping and has easy touchscreen options for 15, 20, or 25% tips. There's also an option to leave no tips. One flyer says, I've flown more than 350 flights on 51 different airlines in the last 3 years, but I never experienced an airline asking for a tip. I'm speechless.
That's why they're kind of independent, you know. I mean, I don't. Ooh. I've tried to tip a Southwest at a check-in counter. They won't take the money. Only place that they'll take it is out in front of the airport, where the contracted bag handlers were sit.
Wow.
So they will, but not at the counter.
At the Travel Guys website, you can always find some pretty interesting stuff. And today, one of the things that you will find there is a story about a suitcase that follows you around. You have a chance to look at that, Tom?
I have. That is really cool. I don't know. I could get into that.
It's in Las Vegas, and they had a consumer electronics show, great big consumer electronics show that's always held just the first week of January in Las Vegas. And one of the hits at the show was, and if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see the Washington Post video about how the suitcase literally will follow you around.
Yeah, well, I need to see it. I need to see it be able to get onto an elevator and go over a lot of humpy things that a lot of those you know, those particular kind of suitcases will not do.
Oh, that's a great point. What about going up on an escalator or something like that? You know, would the suitcase be able to get on and get off by itself, or would it still need a little human assistance there?
There you go.
All right. That is, my friend, your travel news for today.
Coming up, Chris Elliott joins us next to make you a smarter traveler, particularly when it comes to car rentals and car rental returns. That's next. It is Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a new year, and if our first opportunity to bring on one of our favorite guests. He helps consumers all over the planet. Consumer advocate, Mr. Chris Elliott. Christopher, thank you so much for joining us here on the Travel Guys today.
Hey, thanks for having me, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Mr. Elliott. I see from the updates on your website that you guys had a banner year. What was it, 30, 40% more requests for assistance and record number of visitors to your website and all that kind of jazz?
Yeah, it's been a great year. We had 25% more visitors and more than 60% increase in cases. So we've been helping a lot of people. We went past the 7,000 case mark. And by the way, these are not the kind of cases that, you know, we can answer real quickly. These are the people who are filling out our form and we're getting into it. And so 7,000, that's keeping us really, really busy.
And this is mostly volunteers who assist you with this advocacy, am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. Most of the people working with me are volunteers, and they just want to make a difference and help any kind of a consumer, and not just travelers. You know, we help everyone.
Elliott.org is the name of the website. There's a link at travelguysradio.com. If just someday down the road you've run up against a brick wall and you feel you're being treated unfairly, it doesn't have to just be travel. Chris's gang helps folks with all kinds of consumer issues. All right, let's go after an important issue that we've talked about much on this program in recent months, about how rental car companies seem to have kind of this ding and dent scam that they're working, where you bring your car back to a company, particularly a second tier rental company, and oftentimes they find damage, or later they find several days later or a week later they find damage, and they're digging you for the cost of repairs and the car being out of service and all of this kind of stuff. And Chris, you've talked about it a lot, but Enterprise Rent-A-Car has been one of the companies that people most complain about in this area, but you have noticed something has changed at Enterprise. Share that with us if you would.
Yeah, this is really a remarkable story, because you have a company like Enterprise, the largest car rental company in the world, and just getting hammered by these complaints from people. And it's, as you say, people will rent a car, return it, and a few weeks or months later, they'll get an email or a letter from Enterprise saying, you know, you damaged the car and you owe us $490 to fix it. Interestingly, $500 is usually the cutoff for a claim on your car insurance, and the theory goes they didn't want to get their someone's insurance involved in that, so they brought the claim in just below $500. But what's so remarkable is that Enterprise has really done something about this now, and they deserve to be recognized for it. They created a template that they gave to their managers and their employees at all of their locations, and it basically allowed them to determine whether damage had been done to a vehicle. And specifically what I mean by that is there are little marks on it, little circles that say if damage is greater than this circle, then it's something that you need to report. So now instead of having people go in there and eyeball it and say, yeah, that looks damaged, they have this template that they use, and they're going over each rental car with the template and deciding at that point whether or not to file a damage claim. And the number of complaints that I've received have gone down dramatically because of it.
And I want to just tell the folks that are who are listening, if you go to travelguysradio.com, there's a link there, and you can see the damage evaluator, which basically is a series of circles and of different sizes, and different dings and dents and different situations apply to different parts of the circle, and there's explanations there that will tell you what type of ding or dent or whatever. This is a tremendous amount of transparency, Chris, for a company that previously has offered very little of this.
Actually, no transparency before. It was really up to the manager to decide. And the rumor was that managers, and this is not just true for Enterprise, but the rumor was that managers are being rewarded for how many damage claims they filed. So in other words, if I was a manager, you know, here in Phoenix, which is my closest location, then and I had more damage claims, then I would be rewarded with maybe a promotion or something like that. And this is a real about face, because now they're saying, no, you only file a damage claim if the circle is only a certain size. And it's not, I should say, if you look at the template, it's, or the evaluator as they call it, it's a significant size. You can't just say, oh, there's a little ding there. It's got to be big. The standard in the industry is golf ball size, but you know, who knows what a golf ball size is, but now you actually know because you've got one of these templates.
Yeah, is it the amount of golf ball that's laying on the ground, or is it the circumference of the golf ball? Or yeah, and I suppose that would all be open to interpretation. What this does is it creates an actual policy, and I'm sure that this is reflected in the number of complaints that have fallen off, is because Enterprise is no longer trying to ding, or at least individual franchisees to ding people, and now they're playing by the rules. So good for them.
Well, yeah, and I think that Enterprise has, if this was a policy, and again, Enterprise strongly denies that this was something that they were using to bolster their bottom line, but if it was, then they have really changed and they're not doing this anymore. I still do get some complaints, but they're not doing it anymore. And it shows also the importance of transparency, not just in travel, but in any industry. So if you are transparent with your customers, if you tell them exactly what they're going to get, then your customers will be grateful and loyal, and you'll get fewer complaints. And, you know, I'm dealing with a lot of issues. Another good example is vacation rentals, where, you know, you're being quoted one price, and then at the very end, you have to pay for things like cleaning, and there's this amorphous fee for, it's called a transaction fee that you have to now pay. All these things, if the industry became more transparent, I think that people would be grateful and more loyal to the industry instead of what you see right now, which is people just trying to get the lowest deal or the lowest price deal.
Chris, let me ask you advice to our listeners in regards to car rentals. And you're talking about a template that Enterprise is using and so forth. A lot of times people will walk around in their car before they leave the lot with their rental. Any advice in regards to whether they should take pictures, take a note? What advice would you give a car rental person?
That is a great question. My advice would be to take a photo immediately when you see the car. So when you go out and they've given you the keys to the car, go out there, go walk around the car first of all. And if you see anything that looks like damage, don't accept the car. Ask for a different one, because you don't want to have a situation where you say that you didn't damage it before and they say that you did, and you know, you're going back and forth. So give it a really close look.
once you have a car that you find acceptable, so no dings, dents, scratches, or anything at all, take a picture of from every angle, front, back, sides. See if you can even get under the undercarriage, because I've seen people have complaints filed about or cases filed for damage to the undercarriage too. Take a picture of the dashboard. Turn the car on and take a picture of the miles and all the lights and everything like that. So just give it the once over. Then when you come back and you're ready to bring the car back, do the same thing over again. And that way, if the car rental company sends you photos of that car and if there's some damage on it, you can compare it to your after photos and say, look, these are the pictures that I took after. They're time-stamped. Clearly, there was no damage. Thank you very much. Usually, they'll close the case then.
Chris Elliott, thank you so much. Again, if you are so inclined, we are talking about Enterprise Rent-A-Car and the fact that they have created a damage evaluator now that helps determine when you return a car what really is damaged and what is not. You can find a copy of the evaluator and the article that Chris wrote at travelguysradio.com. Chris's website is elliott.org. There's also a link there on our website. Chris, thank you so much for your time today, spending a few minutes making our listeners a little smarter travelers.
All right, my pleasure.
Mark, I have to ask, have you ever been rung up for any damage on an automobile that you've ever rented?
I haven't, but I came close. And to one of Chris's comments there, don't ever take a car with damage. Even if the person who's checking it out with you and you agree that it's not damage that's significant or, you know, that won't be a problem when you return, no matter what the size of it, if there's damage to start with, don't take the car. But really, this evaluator, if you go to travelguysradio.com and just print out a copy of it, at least one other company is using a very similar device. And having something like that in your person would help you determine whether or not, if something had happened to the car, it had been something that could be an issue for you down the road.
Well, there you go. All right. Here to make you a smarter traveler. And as we mentioned, go to travelguysradio.com and you'll find information there, including that a little template to measure the size of the ding on the side of your car. All right. Coming up after we find out what the world's going on in the news, Mark's going to make us smarter travelers in regards to visiting Hawaii, how to get the most out of your Hawaiian dollar, if you will, and enjoy it the best possible. That's next on The Travel Guy. It is The Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And yes, I am taking tips now. This is a low-budget radio program, I might point out, and you might, to compensate the host, you can email your tip to bailtomout.com. That's bailtomout.com.
GoFundMe for the travel guys for the Frontier. I can't believe that Frontier is doing it. I don't doubt that the people at Frontier Airlines are paid such low salaries that, you know, remember last week we had a story about the lady coming home and she was going through Dallas and there wasn't a single, because Frontier doesn't have actual employees, they have contracted employees, and there wasn't a single Frontier's employee in the Dallas airport, which is a pretty big place. I mean, covers about half of Texas. So there you go. Hi from Hawaii.
Aloha.
From the Big Island.
Aloha.
From the King Kamehameha Hotel, which people who have been visiting this Big Island for a while, this hotel has been here for about a little over half a century.
Oh, you're at the King Kamehameha.
Yeah.
Does it still have a little bitty piece of a beach right in the...
It does, and it still has the luau grounds, and it's still right in a spectacular location here in downtown Kailua Kona. And this hotel has a distinction that I really want to point out. Not only is it, it's had many lives through the years, some of them not as good as others. It's having one of its best lives right now. The decor, they've done a terrific job in just, there's a large lobby here that has kind of some shops in it, an extended lobby, and they've put a lot of artwork in it, and it's very nicely and tastefully displayed. There are a lot of historic exhibits. This is a very historic part of Hawaii, and the luau grounds here at the hotel are historic. The prices are reasonable here, but But the good news about the King Kamehameha Hotel on the Big Island of Hawaii on the Kona Coast is it is one of the few remaining large hotels in the islands that is not charging a resort fee.
Well, that's great news.
Considering that you can stay at the Marriott in Waikiki and pay $37 a day as a resort fee, which gets you not even a kiss, it's really gotten out of hand. I mean, it just is unbelievable. But this hotel here on the Big Island, the King Kamehameha, it's a Courtyard hotel, which ironically is a Marriott brand, but they have no fee for resort fee. Now, they do charge for parking and the other things that a normal hotel has charged for over the years. But just to let you in, those hotels that have the resort fees, usually the parking is not a part of the resort fee because, after all, that would make sense. And why would you want to do that with a resort fee? Mm-hmm. In Hilo, for God's sake, the only good hotel in Hilo, I found out two nights ago, is charging a resort fee now.
Wow.
It's kind of... it's just bizarre. But anyway, what I don't really understand, Tom, and we need to talk a little bit about Hawaii here. We don't have a tremendous amount of time, but I just don't understand the philosophy. Maybe we can take some time in the next couple of weeks to talk about this, especially in the travel industry, of just goosing people every time you get a chance. I mean, take a dollar from them here, get $5 from them there, get a 20 from them over here. And it's just, it's made travel such an adversarial. It's because every time you turn around, somebody's got their hand in your back pocket trying to, you know, and they're not trying to take your whole wallet. They just want to take a 10 spot out of it. So it's I don't know, it's discouraging. Talking a little bit about the Big Island here, though, and some of the great places. I spent some time in Hilo, which I would tell you is one of the most authentic places to visit in the islands, because they get a tremendous amount of rain in Hilo, which discourages tourists from going there. You don't go to Hilo to lay on the beach, but there's a lot of history there. There's a wonderful expanded farmers market on Wednesdays and Saturdays in Hilo. Because of all the rain, most of the orchid nurseries are there, and you can tour them, and they will ship these beautiful orchids back to the mainland for you. There's a lot of authenticity in Hilo, Tom, and a lot of people don't ever get over there. And as we look to develop at Sports Leisure Vacations new trips for the future, I can see us spending a little bit of time in Hilo, because I think it's a really interesting spot. And then, of course, the other side of the island is Kona, where I am now. There is a great road that connects. There's two ways to get, well, actually three, to get from one side of the island to the other. You can go the South Road, which takes you to the most southernmost point in the U.S., and takes you to some black sand beaches and through Volcanoes National Park, which of course is a huge attraction. Or you can go the northern route, which will give you a chance to visit Jim Reddicop's Hawaiian Vanilla Farm and some other places on the north part of the island. Or you can take what they call the Saddle Road across the island. It's the shortest route. And the reason it's called the Saddle Road is because it goes between Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea, the two volcanoes that basically comprise most of the landmass here on the Big Island. And there is the most fascinating Hawaiian forest as you climb the hill out of Hilo, of Hawaiian hardwoods, and I have no idea what woods they are, but I'll find out. But just I've never seen it before, because I'd never traveled that road before. So if you come to the Big Island, take time to take that road between the two volcanoes, because if the weather is nice and it's clear, the views are spectacular. And don't forget to allow time to stop to take pictures at the hardwood forest on the Hilo side of the mountains. If you're staying here on the Big Island, you've been here before, Tom, right?
I have, yes. My father-in-law lived on the Big Island for a number of years, and the wife and I used to come and visit, and Hilo was one of our destinations. We did the Saddle Road. By the way, with that being said, one of the things we ran across then, and I'm curious if it's still true, that you're not supposed to travel on roads that are unblessed. Otherwise, you might fall harm in one way or another to Madame Pele. I've had a car virtually quit running while on the Saddle Road when we wandered off into a unblessed road. So are those rumors, or is that stuff still...
Those rumors still abound, Tom, along with there's a huge display at the Volcanoes National Park, and folks who have been here will attest to this, of folks who took souvenirs from the volcano, took home some lava bits or other things that, of course, belong to the volcano goddess.
Where they got the leftover bones of those that...
Well, you know, anything that came out of the volcano belongs to Madame Pele. And you're not supposed to take that stuff home with you. And the Visitor Center has an entire display with letters from people who have sent things back
because they
got home and they broke their leg, their house burned down, their car crashed. And they attributed to the fact that they ignored the warnings to not take things from the volcano.
Yeah, exactly. I got stories. All right.
And, of course, there was the old Captain Beans dinner sale.
Yes.
Which was famous here on the islands for many years. Unfortunately, in one of the big storms, the ship ran aground a few years ago and is no longer here, which is disheartening to me and perhaps to you, Thomas.
Absolutely.
I had some interesting evenings.
Nothing else has taken its place to speak of that you know of.
No, which is sort of appropriate in a way because the Captain Beans dinner sale, also affectionately known as the Booze Cruise at the time, where they took you out in the ocean and plied you with Mai Tais and got people to dance on tables and do all kinds of fun things. The Fish Hopper, if you've ever been to Kailua Kona before and you've walked the streets here, there's a very famous restaurant right across from the breakwater called the Fish Hopper. For those folks who are longtime Hawaii visitors, it's still here. I'm not a huge fan of luau's, but the Island Breeze Luau, Island Breeze is a company that's put on luau's for many years, and the luau they do here at the King Kamehameha Hotel is probably the best one in the islands. It's young people. They do a terrific job of telling the story of Hawaii, and the food's pretty good. The prices are not too unreasonable, and the luau takes place on the historic grounds here at the hotel, so there's at least a little bit of authenticity there. Just up the road between Kailua Kona and the airport is the Seahorse Ranch. If you have never been to a Seahorse Ranch before, go to this one because you'll get an opportunity for a cute little seahorse to wrap its tail around your finger if you take the tour there. And it's something that you can't do anywhere else. And one other thing I will say, Tom, about eating here. Oh, gosh, they had a great crab buffet at the King Kamehameha last night. How would I know that?
I can only guess.
I can just tell you that for some strange reason, man cannot live by shave ice alone, but there's no reason not to try. For those folks on the mainland who have never been to Hawaii or have come here and never tried to shave ice because they thought it was a snow cone, I have just very bad news for you. A shave ice is not a snow cone. And if you come here to Hawaii and as a child you ever had any affinity for said snow cones, make sure that you order yourself a shave ice. I recommend a scoop of vanilla ice cream in the bottom of it. And some of the shave ice places here, Tom, have natural flavors. So instead of putting, you know, artificially flavored corn syrup on your shave ice, why they put some wonderful things, and it's possible to pay as much as $8 or $10 for a shave ice, and I'm lucky to be able to afford that and enjoy it. So shave ice.
Shave ice. That's the expensive version of a snow cone. And I'm just gonna plant this seed. I don't want you guys to think too much about it right now, but later on when you have some thinking time that isn't occupied, think about the profit margin of a snow cone.
Especially an $8 snow cone.
Shaved
if
ice.
If you will, because it is, the main ingredient is shaved ice. Hey, Tom, before I go here, I wanted to get into Maui a little bit, and we don't have time for that today, so we'll have to hold that for another day. Christopher Galloway is headed there with a group of Sports Leisure travelers this afternoon. I want to take just a second here and thank the TSA people around the country and the air traffic controllers for working without a paycheck. I'm certain that this is causing a lot of them some really serious personal issues, and I can't tell them enough, and I have this opportunity, so I want to take advantage of it, how much those of us who travel and who work in the travel industry appreciate the fact that they are continuing to work without a paycheck. This is not a political statement. This is not about one side or the other. It's simply about a bunch of hardworking people who try to keep us safe all the time. They have to be right every time, every day. Bad people only have to be right once. I think they do a great job. And the people who land in the airplanes, the people who make it possible for planes to take off and land and make it through the skies safely, the air traffic controllers who are also working without pay. Hopefully these folks will be paid and this will all be over soon. But I think it's important to know that some of these folks in the system right now are working for free, in essence, so that you can travel. And I think it's not a bad thing to stop and say thank you to those folks if you have the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're flying anytime soon, you know, make a point to thank the TSA folks that you run across. You might even, you know, tell them why you're thanking them.
Yeah. That you can just say as that after they do take your ID, you can just a little 3 or 4 word thank you would be just fine. We sent at Sports Leisure Vacations, we sent, I don't know, I think 10 dozen or 12 dozen donuts out there the other day just because it was the only thing we could think of something to do just to say to all of them, thank you in some small way that we realize what's going on and we appreciate what you're doing.
All righty. Thank you, Mark. We'll be looking forward to talking about Maui next time. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, which leads us to our next interview coming up in about 2.5 minutes. The Broadway hit Come From Behind. Come From, did
Come
I say
from
that?
Away.
Come From Away. Yeah, there's probably one of those, too. Come From Away opened in San Francisco. We're going to talk with one of the cast members, Kevin Carroll, and that's next here on the Travel Guys. Hello there. Welcome. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, your hosts, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And recently we talked about a new musical that's now opening in San Francisco, Come From Away. Mark, since you have seen this rather unusual musical, tell us a little bit about it.
I've seen it on Broadway a couple of times, and I'm looking forward to seeing it in San Francisco next Saturday, actually. I will be taking one of the Sports Leisure Vacations group. The show we're talking about is Come From Away. It is a show that's been on Broadway for a couple of years, now is making a national tour. And we have with us today on the phone Kevin Carroll, who is one of the members of the cast. He plays Claude, one of the show's leads. Kevin, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thanks very much, fellas. It's a pleasure to be here.
You have, Kevin, quite a long list of credits here. You've been on Broadway. You've been on national tours. You've got movies, television here, Orange is the New Black, Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Middle. So, Kevin, tell me a little bit about your role in Come From Away and about the show. I know you've been on tour for a while. You've just come from Los Angeles. It's a great show. Share something with us.
Thank you. It's a very special piece, as you said. I'm one of 12 actors that tell this story with the help of musicians and a large turntable that moves us around in 12 chairs. And it's the story of a small town in Newfoundland called Gander that is a town of about 9,000 people that over 5 days took in 7,000 people when they had to clear the American airspace on 9/11. So for 5 days, this town fed, housed, clothed, cared for people from all over the world, people that did not even speak English as a first language, and just really took care of them. And it's a fantastic show of that in unspeakable tragedy, the hope and the care and the comfort that can come from other people.
And, you know, one of the things, Kevin, that I tell folks, they say, oh, well, it's about 9/11. I don't really want to revisit that again. And really, I tell them 9/11 is the event that happened that caused this situation to occur. But it really doesn't have a tremendous amount. It has more to do with the people and their lives and the stories that they bring with them. Some of them 9/11 related, admittedly, but who all descend on this little tiny town. It's an amazing piece of theater. It really is.
Thank you. We're very proud to be able to do it, especially our gift on the national tour is bringing it around to places in the country where audience members may not make it to New York to see this piece of theater and yet have a strong connection to that date, to that time, to that story. If you're going to characterize it at all that way, it's so much easier. I mean, like I've been telling people, it's more of a 9/12 and beyond. Mm-hmm. So the level of hope that's there from the beginning, of the show and continues through is incredibly infectious. And the audience, I've never experienced the response that we get from our audiences when our final note lands and the lights go out right before we're done. It's thrilling.
Kevin, that is probably the most amazing part of the show. When the first time I saw it on Broadway, it gives me goosebumps just talking about it right now. I've never seen anything like that in the theater before. The audience gets precious few opportunities during the show to applaud the cast, so they kind of have this pent-up enthusiasm at the end. But what is that like on the stage to know that every time you perform that show, that the audience is going to just be so appreciative of what has happened before them that they're going to react in that way? You must not get tired of it.
No, it's the cherry on an incredibly delicious sundae, I have to be honest. To be able to do this, to be able to tell the story that we have, and with a fantastic group of other people. I mean, I'm proud to be on stage with all these other actors that were all chosen, you know, for all of their incredible talents, and the creative team that put us through our paces. I mean, we are the fourth production of this show. There's the New York production. There's a sit down production in Toronto. There's us, and there's a UK production, which just ended previews in Ireland and is moving over to the West End. And then Australia will be coming up soon. And it just feels like there is a long life for this show because, like you said, it's a story that a lot of people want to hear. And once they're there, they don't forget it.
Kevin, you know, this isn't a story that everybody knows. A lot of people are totally unaware of Gander and what went on. When you very first heard that there was going to be a musical, Come From Away, and what it was about, and Gander and all of these people that were basically trapped on their airplanes until they found themselves a new home, what was your reaction as a musical actor that somebody was actually going to give this a shot?
My first experience with the show was before they moved to Broadway. I was able to audition for them once, and I had learned a couple of different tracks, a couple of different roles that they wanted to see me for. So I had a little bit of background information before knowing, you know, that much about the show. But I knew a friend who was working on it, and all he had to do was tell me about the fact that there was a town that took in all these people for 5 days in Canada. And once I heard that, it immediately crystallizes what the show kind of is and the audience that it's for. When I finally got to see it on Broadway, it just cemented the fact that I needed to try and be a part of this anywhere on its, you know, on its trajectory. Thankfully, after the show was open for about a year, when they started talking about the national tour, I was able I was doing a show in Baltimore at the time and was able to go up on my day off and audition for the creative team and stay for the day and then just drive back down to Baltimore. And it was, you know, I was grateful because I would have moved mountains to try and get there, you know, for them to see me. Just being in a different state wasn't enough of a stumbling block.
Kevin, it really is. Come From Away is what we're talking about. Show that opened in San Francisco this week. It will be here for a few more weeks. There are tickets available. If you are not looking to drive yourself to San Francisco, if you go to travelguysradio.com, our underwriter, Sports Leisure Vacation, still has a few seats left for a couple of their trips during the month. So if you'd like to get a package with transportation, or there also is a link there to be able to get just tickets to the show. You've heard us rant on about it here, Kevin and I, for a while. It really is one of the best pieces of musical theater that you will ever see. I absolutely promise that if you go and you don't come back with it, I would be very surprised, because it really is. It's true theater at its very best. And Kevin, thank you so much for sharing a few minutes with us today. Break a leg. Have a great show in San Francisco, and perhaps our paths will cross again someday.
I hope so. Mark and Tom, thank you very much for having me. It was great to talk to you for a little bit.
Full disclosure, that interview was done a few days ago before I took off for Hawaii. Tom, the reviews are in. The show is getting terrific reviews. The first two groups of Sports Leisure travelers went to see it, and they absolutely loved it. It's kind of like dancing like nobody's watching, if you will.
All right. Outstanding. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here today on the Travel Guys. If you'd like to go back and revisit anything we've talked about, find links to any of our special guests, it's at travelguysradio.com. What do we got next week on the show, Mark?
Well, Tom, Clayton Whitehead comes by to talk about what to pack if you're going on a long cruise and a long airplane flight, and we'll dig into the mailbag and answer listeners' questions.
All right, my friends, you stay well, and we'll see you next time.